This is CliffCentral.com. This is Disrupt with Mpumi Nhlapo, powered by T-Systems.
Good day and welcome to Disrupt with Mpumi Nhlapo. Thank you for joining us again today. If you're joining us for the first time on this show, we focus on discussing this topic of disruption and how technology is influencing and impacting our lives, our businesses, and our communities. And we do this by engaging guests on the show from various industries with various influences that can help us really define and unpack what this disruptive energy means for us and what the future might look like. In the studio with me today, I've got a wonderful young lady who has started a project which is called ICT on Heels. She's been in the information technology industry for over 14 years, according to her CV. You wouldn't know by looking at her. She looks very young. Mbulelo Sochifa, how are you? Welcome to the show.
Hi, Mpume. Thank you for having me on the show. I'm all right, thank you.
Are you good?
It's a beautiful morning. I'm doing well.
Thank you. I came across you and your partner actually from an article I read on IT Web, mm-hmm. and I was very intrigued by the work you were doing, and I said to the production team, we have to get you into the show so we can talk about the work that you're doing.
Yes.
With the ICT on Heels project. But before we get into that, mm-hmm. 14 years in IT, when did this 14 years happen? Can you share a little bit about your background?
All right, so my 14 years in this ICT industry started immediately from tech. Uh-huh. So I studied computer systems engineering with VETSTECH, and shortly after that I went to Siemens to do my in-service training.
Okay.
But it was more inclined to the electrical engineering space. So from there I then went to work for Bytes, my real journey in
proper employment.
Yes, proper. It started in Bytes, and I worked as a help desk analyst.
Okay. When we spoke, you've mentioned that you worked in quite a few different ICT companies. So mm-hmm. it's been quite a long journey for you.
It has, yes.
And obviously you've gotten a sense for the industry holistically.
Mm-hmm.
I know you mentioned you've been at T-Systems, you're currently at Absa Bank,
yes.
within the technology space at the bank, and we're going to talk a little bit today about what's happening in the banking center around IT.
Mm-hmm.
But before we get into the specifics, broadly, I mean, how have you seen this industry evolve over the past 14 years? And naturally, things are accelerated now, but I want to get a sense for what you've seen over the past 14 years.
So Things have really advanced. I think if you look at, well, if I look at my journey and where I started, I started as a help desk person with little to no processes in place.
Mm.
And then I think the ITIL and COBIT frameworks came in place and things got a bit structured. So IT initially was a bit reactive.
Yes.
You know, we were firefighting.
Yes.
But things are evolving. We're not completely out of the firefighting mode, but there's structure to IT. And I think what's even more interesting is the new wave of what's coming, the innovative ways of doing things. You have your artificial intelligence that's coming up, your
yeah.
robotics. So all of that is becoming more and more interesting. I think initially, maybe in my journey, I actually thought that, you know, IT was, well, maybe where I landed, it was all administrative, logger call, send a technician.
Yes, so support now desk.
Yes, yeah. support desk. But now it's becoming more interesting. And the things that I think when I was young and I used to watch TV and used to be this is what will happen in the future.
Yes.
But that is happening now. You know, all those exciting things are happening now. There's development. There's beautiful companies that are popping up, like your Girl Code.
Yes.
And stuff like that. So there's a lot that's happening, and it's very interesting. And it's like the most exciting time to be in IT. I think.
And I mean, you I wouldn't call you an old head, but certainly you've been in the industry a long time.
Yeah.
The transition from what was traditional technology stuff that mm-hmm. that we did previously, and now, I mean, you mentioned things like AI. So these mm-hmm. emergent technologies, these hyperscale type of technologies, is that an easy transition for someone like yourself to make, or does it take some doing?
I think as an individual, It's an easy transition, but within an organization, and I think especially big organizations like your banks, and where there's a lot of red tape and there's a lot of hoops to jump over, it's a bit stifling on innovation.
Okay.
But as a person, for you to redefine your journey is quite easy. You know, you need to be out there, you need to know exactly what's going on, and have that passion for what's new and what's happening and how do I not get left behind. But within an organization, you find it's almost like you have this fire inside of you, but you can't really, you know, do much about it.
Yes.
Or you can do so much about it because you've got a lot of red tape. So for organizations, I think it takes, or it's going to take a bit of changing the way things are done. You know, as much as governance was important and we need to do things right, but we need to almost get to more of an agile way of doing things, and allow your creatives to do what they do best, you know, to be innovators and bring new things into play. So you find organizations like your Google that are very flexible to be ahead of the game because of their flexibility.
Mm.
And then you find your banks,
your traditional organizations,
traditional strict organization, they struggle to keep up.
Yeah.
With the pace of the evolving technology.
I do know, like, you know, organizations like Gartner, they talk about, you know, companies that were born digital.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you look at, to a certain extent, Google, but I mean, a lot of the startups today, you know, they're born in the digital age. So, you know, from the time they founded, they adopted cloud, everything is built for mobile, everything is built for, you know, the generation now, whether it's millennials or Generation Z. So they're very much born in that space. But if you look at a bank that could be hundreds of years old, I mean, they were born, you know, they're growing into digital. So they've still got a lot of legacy infrastructure. They've got a lot of people that have been around sometimes 30, 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
I want to frame that into the context of the job you do now. So part of your role now is to be that link, I guess, between what technology can offer and what the business is looking for now and into the future.
Mm-hmm.
How complex is it fulfilling a role like that, given some of the challenges you've mentioned now?
So I think the main challenge there is exactly what I mentioned. There's the red tape that's in place. But you do find when you have leadership that's already that's buying into the new digital era, that are supporting it, then you get things like your incubators that are coming and your digital academy. I know there's a digital academy that APSA is supporting.
Okay.
So I think it's the idea is within the big organization, get a platform for your creatives to play around to exploit the digital world and the new technology. So
okay.
I think that approach is helping, obviously, because we can't do a big bang theory in an organization that huge.
Yes.
So those small initiatives are really helping. So
Will they make a difference, though? I mean, is there not the risk that, by and large, and I'm not making it specific to a bank, but any organization that wasn't necessarily born digital, so they have to grow into the digital space, right?
Mm.
Is there not the risk that we have all these nice projects and let me call them cool things that we're doing on the periphery, but that at our core, we're fundamentally still the same and that we don't evolve?
So I think that's where sourcing your the people that are getting it right and allowing them to do it for you.
Okay.
That's where it works.
Okay.
So you engage with startups to do certain things for you because they're already working in that space, in that era, where they're agile, and they can think on their feet and there isn't much, so they deliver products for you.
Okay.
While you deal with bureaucracy within the big organization. So I think it will make an impact.
Okay.
Because already you see your projects being delivered much, much quicker.
Yes.
In that space, but it's not always easy. But if we pursue in that way, where you get the people that are actually getting it right to do it for you,
okay,
it will make it easier for you.
It's a great point you make. Mm. Even the conversation I had last week, in fact, you know, the few of the conversations I've had, this idea of working with startups to bring them into a large corporate environment so that you get that agility seems to be an approach that quite a few companies are adopting. Sounds like you guys are looking at the same thing from an EPSA perspective.
Yes, we are. So that also helps with the culture as well. It helps because I think in a banking industry we're all rigid and
you're looking after people's money.
Yeah, we have to be strict in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But I think the culture of bringing the young creatives that are just killing the market,
yes,
you know, that are just doing the best that they can, it almost like brings that it rubs off on the strict
the established. yeah
so it's quite a good move.
Okay, and yeah, is that part of the motivation for the ICT in Heels? I know your focus there is you're trying to create an environment or space for women to engage the ICT sector. I mean, it's a topic that's been on the table for many years.
Yes.
Now already. Mm-hmm. I want to get a sense of, you know, how are you looking at it differently relative to how different initiatives have tried to address that challenge in the past?
Yeah, so I think what we're trying to do, in fact what we're doing, is that we want accessibility. So there's been programs like ICT on Heels, there's been mentorship programs for women in ICT before.
Okay.
But the limiting factor from where I stand is that they're not always accessible to everyone. Right.
Okay.
So they're accessible to either the elite or they're accessible to certain people. So what we want is to build a platform that will be accessible to someone that's starting out.
Okay.
So someone that's starting out, someone that's going the startup route, and someone that's already killing it in the ICT space, that's already very influential. So
okay.
So I think the driver for us is this point that there's like 20% of women, 20% of the workforce within ICT is women.
Okay.
So that really needs to change. I mean, we need more women. And we don't just need more women to be at the bottom of the food chain. We need more women to influence the ICT space. There are women that are already doing great things.
Yes.
We need more of those. And we need those women to. I mean, the complexities that women are faced with, you need someone that's been through the different complexities to actually also guide us or to tell you how they got it right.
Yes.
So we need to pull each other up and see the numbers changing and influence the industry.
The industry.
Yes.
I mean, you enter the industry, right, you know, from workplace management. You probably went through internships. So you've been all the way up to senior management where you fulfill the role now. What are some of the key areas that you feel you need to be addressed now to make sure that, you know, young people, women coming into the industry at the very nascent stages, right up until senior management, that they actually see it through?
So there's a lot. So when you start out, right? In fact, when you join the industry, because the industry is so male dominated, we tend to almost wanna do what the men are doing and not be ourselves.
Yeah, to fit in.
Fit in, yes.
Mm.
So I think the idea here is be yourself, be a woman, and be good at what you're doing.
Yes.
And excel, and don't use. So the key thing is not to use our gender as an excuse. So we are excellent, we are women, but let's get recognized for the work that we do, the our expertise as well.
Yes.
So from the beginning, we need to be able to stand out, build a brand. So identify from an early stage that you are a brand, and you need to stand out, and you need to fulfill that brand that you perceive.
Okay.
Yeah.
And are there specific challenges that are preventing, besides obviously, you know, the gender differences, are mm-hmm. there specific challenges that prevent young women from entering the industry, you know, from a high school perspective maybe, or at the early stages of tertiary education? What are some of the challenges that are out there that are preventing?
So I think historically the ICT space has been seen as a the ICT, I mean, even your engineering space have been seen as almost like a man's world.
Yes.
So women would be like, you know, I don't associate myself with that.
Yes.
But that's where we need to change the mentality, and that's part of what we're doing with my partner Noluvuyo in ICT on Heels is to also do what we're planning to do is ICT awareness.
Okay.
Right? Taking ICT to the high schools and showcasing to the young people what ICT is really about. It's not as boring and as rigid as it may seem because our kids are exposed to your smartphones and your internet and everything, but they don't really know what goes into that, what building an app is all about, and
yes.
the excitement around that.
Yes.
So we want to take the excitement factor to the high schools so that we see not only just young women, but we see young people being passionate about ICT because it really is, technology really is the heart and the driver to where we are going as a nation and as the world.
Yeah.
Technology is key.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I know then you have another project where you're going to focus on mentorship.
Yes.
Okay. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
So, that's where ICT on Heels comes from. So, the mentorship part of it, we're mainly focusing on building a platform. So, I highlight the platform thing because it's not your typical mentorship one-on-one. So it's a platform of ladies from different levels within ICT.
Okay.
And we engage with each other.
So let me just confirm something.
Yes.
Sorry. When you say platform, a technology platform?
No.
Or a platform as in a network of people?
A network of people.
Okay. All right.
A network
got you.
Of people.
I'm with you.
Yes.
Okay.
So... yeah, so where we engage, we talk on different topics, and the ladies highlight what the challenges that they're going through. We find ways to address those challenges with them. We actually built some material to take the ladies through, and we'll be journaling their journey from where they started to the end and see the growth that has come out of it.
Okay.
And I think the exciting part about the mentorship program is how people how senior women in the ICT space have been so they've taken it up so easily with it just being an idea and us just telling someone about it. People
yeah.
are like, I'm in, I want to support it, tell me how I can help, and all of this. So that has been very exciting.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what role do you see men playing within that? I mean, I'm in the ICT industry, been in it a long time. So if I'm looking to say, you know, I can make a contribution to this, is there any opportunity?
Yes, there is. Yes, there is. So if you look at our lineup of mentors as it stands, we've got Ellen, not Craig Jr., as one of our mentors.
Fantastic.
So our mentors are not restricted to women. Because we've got a lot of men that are behind women empowerment, a lot of men that support it, and he's one of the people that jumped on it and said, I'm ready to help.
Okay.
And even in our day-to-day lives, I mean, there are a lot of men that are rooting for us, that you can do this, and give us tips of how to navigate, and I mean, the men as well, they have wives in ICT, they have younger sisters in ICT,
yes.
and they see some of the injustices that they want to be addressed as well.
Yes.
So they're also backing us. So as how men can get involved is by supporting us in any way or form.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
And women that are, you know, forming their own startups, that are engaging their own businesses, how have you seen that space growing? Are you engaging, you know, on LinkedIn I would see, and I'm, you know, connected to a few people that are running their own businesses, that are starting really from the ground up. How have you seen that space developing?
So that's been a very interesting space, and it's also exciting to note that one of our mentees is also a woman that has started her own organization.
Okay.
So that I actually applaud. I applaud people that do things unconventionally. You
yes.
know, the conventional route is to go to school, get a job or an internship and whatever, but the courage to have your own startup and take it from the ground up is something worth being applauded.
Mm.
And there's a lot of those that are coming up, and they're doing very well as
yeah.
well. So I think it's good to also highlight that we've got women that are we've got a wide range of women either starting up or those that have their own startups or own organizations that are coming up. So it's a nice mixture
of people, yeah.
Of people, yes.
And from a beyond South African borders perspective, are you guys looking you know, there's quite a lot of activity, as we know, in Kenya, mm-hmm. in East Africa. We know there's a lot of activity in Rwanda around mm-hmm. technology at the moment. Ethiopia's economy is growing very fast. Do you have ambitions or thoughts about how do we network with our fellow Africans beyond the borders of South Africa?
So definitely. I think even outside of Africa, so we're not limiting ourselves at all.
Okay.
We've been recently elected or recently joined the steering committee for Meltech, which is a UK-based company that's going to be having a summit sometime this year. So we're in the steering committee helping them bring the conference for the first one in Jozi. So we are all about partnering. We are all about being out there, empowering, and the horizon is so broad. We can't just limit ourselves to SA.
Yeah. I want to shift gear a little bit, and we'll come mm-hmm. back to talking about the role that women play in the sector. Banking and technology, most of the time. The conversations that we have would indicate that, you know, banking is one of the areas that is, there's a lot of activity, you know, mm-hmm. so whether it's from new startup fintechs, I know you work in the insurance division of EBSA, so there's now this new term called insurtech, so these new agile companies that are coming into that space. Michael Jordan as well launched his Zero Bank. How do you guys lean into the, you know, the wave of activity that's happening in and around your industry? How do you perceive that as a bank?
So I know in our space specifically, we're trying to change the way we do insurance completely. There's a journey that we're going through. We call it Insurer of the Future, where we want to put in your telematics, your AI, and all of that. So we, as I stated earlier, we engaging with your fintechs and your startups that
yes.
that are really doing well in those space, and we bringing them on to help us take insurance to the next level.
Yeah, and the people working in the bank, how are they transforming or transitioning? Because I guess, you know, there's a risk that you partner up with these companies and then they grow big enough to now start eating into your pie. if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So there's a shift within the organization itself, I guess, that needs to take place. Are you feeling that happening?
Not at an alarming rate.
Okay.
But what we're doing is to leveraging from their strengths. Like I was saying earlier, the culture is also rubbing off, not at an accelerated rate, but the culture is also rubbing off from us. But the limitations are still your red tapes within the bank. So partnering with them is actually taking us to another level.
And when we talk about concepts like the bank of the future, I mean, what are some of the things that we can look to in the future that, you know, obviously we've got mobile banking now, we've got the apps in place now, you know, but when we talk about AI, we talk about IoT and all these new concepts, how are those going to materialize into the industry or are they not?
No, I think if we don't lay hold of those, then as a bank would as a banking industry would be left behind.
Yeah.
And there is no way that in whatever industry or field that you're in, that you can't leverage into what's happening. You have to either get on the bandwagon or get left behind.
Yes.
So if businesses really still want to be ahead of their game, they have to embrace the new culture and the new technologies that are coming in.
Yeah. So do those become part of a key part of the strategy? Are there still things that you're experimenting with? I guess what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get a sense of where the industry is at. You know, is mm-hmm. the industry still kind of looking at these things as, well, okay, we'll see how things go? Or is there active movement to try find ways to leverage? You know what I mean? I'm trying to get a sense of what the energy is like in terms of engaging technology and embracing it.
Yeah, I think it's active involvement, and it's part of our strategy. If we don't go that route, we will definitely get left behind.
Yeah.
So it's seeing how we can tap into things like your blockchain and everything. And if we don't tap into those, we would really get left behind. So it's we embracing it.
Yeah.
Actively.
And so things like cryptocurrencies, obviously built on blockchain technologies, those become, you look at them as risks or opportunities?
Opportunities, definitely.
Opportunities. Yes. How is that an opportunity?
We have to keep redefining ourselves and go with the wave and where things are going. So that's how we see it as an opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk then the link. I mean, women coming into the ICT space, we know that the banks obviously are big employers. So a lot of people tend to work in the banks, especially from an IT perspective. Mm. Are you seeing that there's an uptake of women coming into the banking sector at those early stages to work, whether it's like an internship level, moving up to senior ranks?
There is a bit of an increase in intake for women, but as we say, we would like to see a rapid growth. We're not comfortable with us just being the 20% of women in the industry. We want to see more women, and we want to see more women in senior roles. I mean, we were looking at the CIO, there's a book that was published for...
Oh, the handbook, CIO handbook.
The CIO
yeah.
handbook.
Yeah.
We are looking at that, and if you just look at that, the number of women there is still way too little. So
yeah.
it means at the top of the food chain, there we still have a shortage of women. So
yeah.
we would like to see programs that encourage and develop women and get them to be more recognized and eventually get to the top.
And, I mean... I'm thinking now, is it because, is there not, and I'm really asking the question because I'm curious, is there not are the women not maybe moving into other roles along the line, if you get what I mean?
Mm.
So if I look at like a CIO type of role, it's very specific.
Mm.
People like myself who come up in the IT space, then we kind of branch out into other things. Is there any indication of what happens, you know, so we get a big intake of interns, you know, they get involved in the program, and then as things move up, are there other challenges that prevent them from staying the course?
So if you look at where most women are sitting, it's mainly at your support level.
Oh, I see.
So okay. It's mainly at your support. That's where you either come in service desk or support or developer, or you know, that's where most women get stuck. So we need to figure out what is it that's preventing us from going beyond that and going into either management roles or in exploring other things. But it is also, I mean, you mentioned that you also start out and branch out into other things.
Yeah.
That also happens. That also has to be taken into consideration, because you see some women coming in and then as they start working, they feel like, you know, this is not for me. This
yes.
is a bit too technical. Then they branch out into other things. And that's also acceptable and understandable. People can branch out into whatever they want to. I think the main thing is, why are we all at the bottom?
Yeah, and how do we move up the value chain?
And how
yeah?
we, how do we move up the value chain, and how do we change that perception and get women to grow, to want to grow within the industry?
Mm.
Yes.
This is all very complex stuff, and it, you know, consumes a lot of time and energy. What's inspiring you to want to get involved? I mean, you could, you know, you have a very senior post, you could focus on yourself and then become CIO in the next couple of years. What drives you to want to...
So I think the main driver for me is that even where I am now, there's been a number of people that have played a role in giving me an opportunity to step up.
Okay.
and do certain roles. I mean, that for me... Because most of the time, people see in you what you don't even see in yourself. So I think that's the vision that we share with Nolu. Because you want to also do the same to other women. You also, not just other women, to other people. You also want to give people an opportunity to step up. I mean, if I can make an example, I think beginning of last year, I was given an opportunity to chair a conference, the ICT on Heels. No.
soon to come.
the Women in ICT Leadership Conference.
Okay.
And that was a big opportunity for me.
Yes.
And that's someone putting their trust in me to deliver when they haven't even seen me do it.
Yeah.
And it was something that I had never done before. So that I mean, that has boosted my confidence. That has also showed me that I need to do the same for other women.
Okay.
You know, not just other women, I keep saying, but I need to do the same for other people as well. Give people an opportunity to step up and get into roles that they didn't even envision themselves in.
So I guess it's about, you know, giving someone else leverage and using yourself as that platform to give them that leverage.
Yeah. So that's where the passion comes from. That's where the passion comes from.
Okay.
That's been a motivator for us.
Okay, and then just a quick one then. The conference that you did last year, I just want to get a sense. You said it was a Women in Leadership Conference?
Yes.
So it's broad, not just ICT?
No, it was based...
Specifically around ICT.
ICT, yes.
What are some of the key things that came out of that and the learnings that we can take from that?
So some of the key things, I think, was we had Kate Moodley as one of our speakers, and she was focusing on building the brand. We had Nomonde White as well, who was focusing on the challenges that women go through in the industry. So some of the learnings that I got from there was highlighting the fact that you are a brand, you need to develop the brand. And we also had Louise as well, who spoke about, I think she's the one lady in her Exco team. She's the only lady in the Exco team.
Is it Louise van der Bank?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
So she was highlighting how you make your presence felt as a woman, not to be overlooked and stuff like that. So the learnings are quite broad, from how you handle yourself in a boardroom, how presenting and making yourself a brand that's out there and recognizable. So,
okay.
Yes.
And planning to do your own conferences perhaps as ICT on Heels?
In the pipeline, definitely.
In the pipeline.
Definitely, yes.
I've got a comment that came through on our website, and it's from, who is it from? It's from Simpiwa Maisela. And the question really is about how can we change the status quo? So how do we make ICT more attractive to women more broadly, so that it's not just seen as something for the techie-orientated people? Because I think there is this perception, you know, that IT is for people that are more nerdy. We must be sitting in a garage and creating the next great app. But if you look at how it's pervasive across everything, it really touches every part of our lives. How do you propose we can make it more attractive so we do attract more women to the industry?
So I think our ICT awareness drive is what we aim to use to open up that to young people.
Okay.
And to highlight the fascinating things that that happen within ICT. That it's not about just fixing your PCs or being stuck somewhere,
yes.
But it's about but playing around with either coding or developing an app. I mean, the things that they have at the palm of their hands are things that a lot of work has gone into, and a lot of exciting work as well. So it's about selling it and making it attractive to young people.
And I guess also there might be, or there definitely is, an opportunity with the Department of Education more broadly to understand, you know, it's one thing to get computers donated and people kind of, you know, are using them to put together CVs or to experience the internet. But it's another thing for them to, as you mentioned earlier, to understand what actually makes it possible and the opportunities within that as well.
Yes. So initially when we were thinking let's tap into the high schools, we thought maybe we should bring build labs, and we thought, but then what? You know, and it's been done before.
Yes.
People have sent or donated their computers, and there's been
absolutely
labs, but you have a teacher who's not even passionate about ICT that's teaching them this is how you do a Word document, this is how you send an email, this is how you print. But we need to go beyond that, because that has been overdone. We need to go beyond that. We need to show the young kids about like your wearable devices, like virtual reality things.
Yes.
The things that IBM is working on and doing. Cloud computing, all these exciting things that are happening. We need to showcase that to the kids, not just leave them with laptops and a printer.
Yes.
And say we've done our part in taking ICT or taking technology to the high schools.
Are you aware of any programs that are doing that type of work, so taking it to the next level? You mentioned there's the Digital Academy that you have at APSA.
Yes.
So what's happening within your guys' academy? What are some of the exciting things you're doing there?
So I'm not closely involved in what exactly okay. they're doing, but okay. I know it involves a lot of kids that come from tertiary. They okay. get involved in the Digital Academy. I can't really mention the projects that they're specifically working on, but okay. I know it's about developing the entrance into the industry mm. and introducing them to what's out there.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I like the story you mentioned earlier about how you and your partner met.
Yes.
Because I think it can set the example for how other people can come together mm-hmm. To work on, you know, initiatives that are beyond themselves. Mm. Can you just share a little bit of that story?
Yeah, so the second conference that the Conference Hub had last year for ICT women in leadership, I bumped into Nolu there. She came from Glencore, I came from APSA. We were attending the conference, but something, you know, we just connected.
Yes.
Because we kept saying, we've been to conferences, these women are amazing, but then what, you know? How do we take it to another level? How do we make a lasting impact in not just our lives, but in other women's lives? How do we make it accessible for other women to tap into other senior people in the industry? So
yes.
that's where we met, and I think that highlights the importance of networking.
Yes.
As well, because I could just be growing in my own corner and just going from one position to the next, but because of networking, I was able to meet Nolu. I was able to meet the amazing women that are now on the program.
Yes.
And together we're working at taking ICT to another level, or broadening our horizon.
Yeah. Yeah. And what is on that horizon? So what are the other projects? You mentioned the mentorship platform.
Mm-hmm.
You've mentioned the awareness mm-hmm. with the kids that are coming out of school.
Mm-hmm.
Other things that you've got in mind for the future for the ICT on Hills project?
So other than the school and the mentorship, it's partnering with different organizations. We've recently partnered with VSpace.
Okay.
They do development work, so they'll be running workshops for us, for the ladies, teaching them about development and creating apps and all of that.
Okay.
We've also, I mentioned Meltech as well, that we've partnered with. We're also working closely with the Conference Hub, where we met. We're working together with them to prepare their next summit, which is coming up in April. And also, it's exciting to say that we both will be speakers at the next conference.
Fantastic.
So we're tapping into the summit, conference world, mentorship, awareness at high schools. I mean, for us, the sky is not the limit.
Yeah. And how do you manage to do all of that and still do your day job?
So it gets rigorous,
yeah.
I say. it gets quite hectic, but I think that's where passion comes from. So you do your day job, and then after work, me and Nolu are WhatsApping each other. Mbu, have you seen this? I will do this and you will do that. And
okay.
and despite being tired and coming back from work, but because you are passionate about seeing this through, you are passionate about making an impact and influencing lives, you push the hours.
Yeah.
So
you don't feel it in effect.
You
eh?
Don't. You don't. So we give each other assignments, and she's quite strict. She holds me accountable to the stuff that I need to deliver on, and I would be sitting and working, and you know, ideas would just be coming through. I think it's what they say about finding your niche.
Yes.
think that's where we are.
Mm. Mm. So before we wrap up, and given that you're so purpose-driven around this initiative, I want you then to share your vision, and I really want you to answer the question comprehensively, because I want to get a sense for your vision of how the country and the continent can evolve by tapping into what you're trying to do, so bringing mm-hmm. more women into the industry, and more broadly, where you see the potential for us in the future.
Yeah, so it's exciting to note that I think in January the Minister of Communication was speaking at a gender sensitization seminar or something like that. And she was saying women need to be more active participants in the economy, and that and specifically in the ICT industry, we need not be the spectators. So we need to be actively involved.
Okay.
And then in the State of the Nation address recently, the president was also saying that for us to be prosperous, we need to be actively involved and tap into the radically evolving technologies. And he mentioned the building the capability of STEM, your science, technology, engineering, and maths.
Okay.
And I think that's the space that we see ourselves tapping into. So it's exciting to see it mentioned at that level and being at the heart of our communications minister and our newly elected president, because that's where we see ourselves playing into as well. And I think it's also encouraging to a lot of people, a lot of startups, a lot of people in the ICT space.
Yep.
Something, when you hear the president mention the importance of that, something inside of you just jumps and you know that we're on the right path.
Fantastic. And then we talk about disruption on the show, and I've already intimated disruption, not just about building the next great app, but really how do you engage, you know, the environment within which you operate differently, right, to accelerate and I guess create results, you know, of a different nature. In the work that you do, both professionally and obviously with your organization, how does disruption play a role and how do you define it?
So how do I define disruption? So disruption would be, for me, doing something different and influencing the norm, right? So your Uber would have been your disruption to the taxi industry, and your mobile money and sending money.
Sure.
would be that in the banking space. So I think the more we embrace innovation, the more we'll see a lot of disruptive innovations coming up, breaking out of the norm in your mainstreams, and bringing something different. That's what I think.
I would add to that and say the work that you're doing, you know, in terms of encouraging more women to come into the industry, which means the type of innovation we're likely to get is also going to shift, right?
Yes.
So, you know, the diversity that women bring will bring a diversity of ideas.
Mm.
A lot of the innovation on the African continent is solution-based, so it's addressing specific challenges that we have. So I think there are very specific challenges that as a woman you might face that I might not face as a man. And so by bringing women into the space, then they can start to come up with solutions to those problems that come from a very unique perspective.
Yes.
So it's with that I think there's a lot of disruptive energy that can be created, you know, through this momentum. And so I think, you know, the initiatives that you're running really can have great impact, and we watch it with keen eyes to see how it develops and grows.
Okay.
Mulelo, thank you so much for joining us today, and for the work that you're doing.
Thank you.
We really want to offer as much support as we can to make sure that the message and that we do create opportunities for women to come into the industry, because it's such an exciting and dynamic industry. And also wish you the best in your work at APSA. I know that they're working frantically to evolve and digitize the bank, and
yes,
that is also very exciting.
Okay.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me on your show.
It's an absolute pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on Disrupt with Mpumi. It's been another wonderful conversation with our guest. We will continue to tackle the topic of disruption. We'll look at it from all angles, and we look forward for you to join us again on Disrupt with Mpumi. Have a wonderful day.
This is Disrupt with Mpumi Club, powered by Two Systems. This is CliffCentral.com.